In the months leading up to the ceasefire, combatants on both sides have escalated the scale of weaponry used in the conflict. The war in Syria is notoriously difficult to cover, making it very hard to know exactly what weapons are being used. Elliot Higgins runs the Brown Moses blog, which is often cited as an authoritative source on the weapons used in the Syrian conflict. We've reached him in the United Kingdom. Mr. Higgins, thanks so much for being with us.
That's no problem.
How have Syria's rebels gotten so far with so little weaponry until recently?
I think part of it is that the Syrian government forces, until very recently, have been very reluctant to actually go into the areas under the control of the Syrian opposition. Mm-hmm. This has meant they've relied on artillery attacks and more recently air power to do the damage. But when they actually go in on the ground, a lot of the time they're sending in undefended tanks. And if tanks are going in like that, you don't really need much more than a rocket-propelled grenade and a bit of cover to get around the back of it and hit it in the rear and destroy it.
But you've written recently about the increasing sophistication and destructive power of some of the weapons now in rebel hands. What are they using now?
More recently, what we're seeing is increased numbers of multi-barrel rocket launchers being sighted. And these are long-range rocket launchers, capable of firing quite a distance, up to 8 miles, I believe. Very, very effective against stationary targets, but only if you know how to fire them. And the question I have is really, how well-trained are these opposition fighters when they're actually operating them?
Where do rebels get rocket launchers?
As far as I can see, most of this is actually coming from capturing military bases, arms depots, and the like.
So they're taking the government's weapons and using them against the government?
That's correct. I've not seen any evidence that they're coming from abroad, although it's always quite difficult to tell. I mean, we don't really get to see the packing slips that come along with them.
You've written a good deal about what you've called DIY, do-it-yourself weapon systems.
Yes, correct.
Give us an example of what you've noticed in the Syrian conflict.
One of the most popular weapons I've seen are simple pipe bombs. They're made from a variety of explosive, some of which is actually harvested from unexploded bombs that have been dropped on the Syrian rebels. They break them open, take out the explosives and put them into their own pipe bombs. They also use oversized slingshots to actually launch these further distances over walls and into military compounds and fortified areas.
Did you say oversized slingshots?
Yes, that's right. It's one of the more unusual things I've seen in the conflicts. They are literally just giant slingshots that are being used to throw these pipe bombs further than they would be able to reach normally.
On the government side, I gather you've seen an escalation in the air war on that side too.
That's correct. Really, when we first saw helicopters being used in April, they were being used very rarely. And later on, they started using large high-explosive fragmentation bombs that were being dropped quite frequently. Moving into August, jets started appearing in the skies with larger quantities of bombs. Following that, in mid-October, is when we started seeing the cluster bombs being used across Syria.
Forgive my naivety, but what took the government so long to start using those weapons?
Well, the use of helicopters in April seems to have been a direct result of the villages and towns rebelling. And really, since then, it seems that as the government's really failed to take control of the country and the opposition has become more experienced and well-equipped, there's been one escalation after another. The recent cluster bomb usage, I believe, may have been actually linked to a highway in the west of the country being captured that connects the capital to Aleppo, where there's very heavy fighting at the moment. And I believe at that point, the Syrian Air Force realized they really needed to break out their most powerful weapons they could get away with using.
Mr. Higgins, you are often cited as a source of the arms that are used in the conflict. We have to ask, you're sitting there in some kind of studio in the United Kingdom. How do you know this stuff?
It's a combination of things, really. I'm fortunate enough to have a lot of contacts with activists who provide me with information. But one thing I've found is you can't really always trust what activists are saying. So you need to combine that with knowledge you gather from journalists. And I have a number of armed researchers I speak to. But what's very unusual about this Syrian conflict, especially compared to Libya, where the internet was cut off for most of the conflict, is there's a vast number of videos being uploaded every day onto places like YouTube showing all sorts of things from different parts of the country. And one thing that's very easy to identify are unexploded ordnance. For example, the cluster bombs, as soon as they started being used, we started seeing dozens and dozens of videos of used cluster bombs appearing across Syria.
Elliot Higgins writes about the weapons being used in the Syrian civil war for the Brown Moses blog. Mr. Higgins, thanks so much.
Thank you.